us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Gosh, this is actually quite heavy. I'm just going to do some furniture removal. You don't mind, do you? You've all been wondering about these three here, haven't you?
Yeah.
They're just there so you can wonder about them. Let me just say something about them. They've been in our loft for 8 years, those three stools. And they're not everybody's cup of tea. But Steph and I don't want to go home with them this morning. So if anybody wants three bar stools in vibrant green, then please, I'd love you to come and just see me at the end. It'll be kind of like first come, first serve. We're not selling them. They're free. They're free. They're very 1970s. You're quite right. They are. So there we are. Yeah, it's just lovely to see you all. Hi there in 146. I can't see you, but I hope you can see me today. I just wanted to check in the corner. Is that video or song available at the end? Yes, that's great. And whilst I'm standing here, yeah, just following on from what Andy was saying, Steph and I just are so grateful to be part of the family here at MCF. And I know we sort of come and go, but the church has done so much to support the work at SACH. I just hope we can organise a Sunday when we can all go and just be there. And you can see some of the things that you're supporting even now. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you to you all before I start speaking this morning. Then I also want to say, we've got this series on prayer at the moment, which is really good. I found Andy's talk really, really helpful last week, and challenging, especially about, you know, the discipline of prayer. And so we're continuing with that subject this morning, but I want to look at it from a slightly different angle, which is why I've brought my three chairs with me. So I hope you're going to help me. Hip hip.
Hooray!
Thank you. Hip hip.
Hooray!
And hip hip.
Hooray!
Three chairs. Anyway.
It can only get better.
You're right. Oh dear. There they are. I also just wanted to say before I kind of launch out that it's wonderful always to be reading a book of some sort, and books inspire us and they speak into the journey that God's taking us on. If ever there was a book that illustrates the truth that you can't judge a book by its cover, that it's this one. Because that's got to be about the most boring cover I've ever seen in the world. But it's called Free Indeed, and it's written by Tom Marshall. He was a pastor from New Zealand. The book was written in the 1970s. But I have been reading this book slowly. It's taken me 3 months to read this because it has been so helpful for me to understand the whole thing about body, soul, and spirit, which is what I want to talk about a bit this morning. So I really, really recommend this book to you. It's not Bill Johnson. Bill Johnson is like wow stories all the time. But it's a really helpful book. Have a look at it at the end if you want to. Then I want to read this morning from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. But you can just listen. This is the story of Elijah. You remember how Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal and called down fire on the altar of God. That was pretty cool. But then he was swamped with depression and he ran away because he was frightened of Jezebel. And the Lord took him into that cave and he wanted to teach Elijah a lesson. So we read this reading. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, came a gentle whisper. And I love the next verse. It says, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. There's something precious about what happened in that verse. Suddenly Elijah recognized the presence of God. That's why he did that, and he went and stood in the Lord's presence. The subject that we're going to be thinking about this morning is this whole subject of how can we pray when God seems silent? Have you ever prayed and thought, you know what, I think my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling? Or have you prayed for something for so long that you think it'll never happen? Abraham did that. So that's something we're going to think about this morning. And we could talk about perseverance and some of the other things that we need in order to press through when God seems silent. But I want to look at it from a slightly different perspective. So with my three chairs here now, they're going to have individual names. You can help me with this as well, because you've already proved that you're marvelous people. This chair is called body. This chair is called soul. So what is this chair called? Spirit. That's right. And I want to talk about this because this has been, I found this idea so exciting. And really it's kind of come as revelation to me, although we kind of know about it. Let me tell you the truth. Understanding what our body is fairly straightforward. Probably for you as well. It's the crusty bit on the outside. And in Scripture it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. So this is the jar of clay. And I don't want to talk too much about our bodies today. Some of us like our bodies, and some of us don't. But that's fine. I particularly want to think about these two today. Our soul and our spirit, and how it affects the way that we communicate with God. How it affects us hearing God speaking into our lives. So, what is our soul? Well, I'm going to try and keep this simple. I work a lot with children, so it helps me to keep things simple. And you might go away thinking, there's more to it than that. And I'm sure that's true. But for this morning, our soul is our emotions, our mind, and our will. That's enough. We could go further. But for the sake of this morning's talk, it's our emotions, our mind, and our will. It's also, if I might say so, the kind of default position that most of us live in. But actually, God wants us to live here. So, how on earth can we begin to describe our spirit? Well, the scripture tells us that our spirit is dead in its relationship with God before we come to Jesus. And this verse tells us something important. This is 1 John chapter 3 verse 14. Yet we can be assured that we have been transported from spiritual death into spiritual life. And you know, those of you who have read John chapter 3, that there the Bible talks about us being born again when we come to Christ. And you remember when Jesus said that to Nicodemus, Nicodemus was confused because he thought it was this bit that was going to be born again. Have I got to get smaller and smaller and smaller, said Nicodemus, until I can get back into my mother's womb? That would have made me hoot. But Jesus was gentle with him. No, he said, it's your spirit that's born again. And it's difficult to describe the spirit In John chapter 3, it says this: the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So whilst it's easy to give a little label to our soul, it's more difficult to talk about what our spirit is. In fact, many people who are not born again, because their spirit is dead, say there is no spiritual dimension to life. I have friends who would say that to me. This whole spiritual thing is just a load of nonsense. But we know when we're born again that something is set free. That we have a spirit. You know what happens when we come together and meet like this, and it's happened today, is that the Spirit of God begins to seep into our meeting, and His presence becomes bigger and bigger until it overwhelms our hearts and our minds. Is that what happens sometimes? I felt it happening this morning. Because when... I'll talk a bit about worship in a minute, but when our worship leaders open the door for us to walk into the presence of God, we move from here and we begin to sit here, and God in His grace and mercy releases Himself into our lives, and we begin to experience God in a different way. So we know that this spiritual dimension is true. There are other ways that we can see the truth of the spiritual side of our lives. Let me talk about intuition. Now, some of us are more intuitive than others. Sometimes, if I have a little fallout with somebody in my family, it wouldn't be my wife because I never fall out with my wife, but just supposing I did, I can be sitting in front of my TV in the lounge if I've done something upsetting, and I can be watching the TV and my wife can walk in and I will feel. Or is it just me? I will feel something is in the room. Some sort of discomfort is happening. It's not just with our spouses, it can happen with our friends or it can happen with our family. You know what's happening? Our spirit is communicating with their spirit. No words have been said, no eye contact has been made, but there's a spiritual connection. The scripture talks about deep crying out to deep, and it's talking about this spiritual communication that goes on, and that is also the way that we communicate with God, from our spirits. So I want to think about that a little bit. I can give some more examples. I find the whole idea of beauty a very interesting one, because beauty is not an emotion. But you and I know what beauty is, don't we? We can't even describe it. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. We appreciate beauty from our spirit. It does something to us. It's a spiritual thing. There's an old hymn somewhere which talks about the grass being greener when we come to Christ, and the sky is bluer. It's that idea that we see more beauty because we have become spiritually aware. And it's the same with Jesus. Isn't there a beauty about Jesus? And we haven't seen Him with these eyes, but we've seen Him with the eyes of our spirit. And there's something inside us that helps us to understand His beauty. Now, I want to talk about knowing. This is another interesting thing. I found this fascinating in the book that I've been reading, which I showed you. One of the things that happens in our spirit is that we can know people, or we can know things. Now, there are two ways of knowing things. Number one is that we go and sit in a classroom and see all the facts written on the board, and our mind accumulates knowledge and we know something. So that's the kind of knowing that happens here. But there's another kind of knowing. And this knowing happens here. It's the knowing of somebody else. When I say I know Steph, I don't mean, you know, I saw a lecture about her and they wrote up lots of things on the board, so I've learned that off by heart, so I know her. Some people think you can know God like that. Well, you can start to know God like that, but there's a different kind of knowing. When I say I know Steph, I'm talking about a spiritual connection that I have with her. And that's released out of our spirit. That's the kind of way that God wants us to know him. Here, we can learn all the facts about God. We can go to university and do a degree in theology and not know God. You know all about him, but you don't know God. And this knowing is really important because it helps us in our prayers. I love this when Jesus is talking in John chapter 10, verse 4. He's talking about the good shepherd and he says, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And they follow him. Knowing a voice is an interesting thing. An interesting thing happened recently in our family. My dad died 23 years ago, so I haven't seen or heard him for 23 years. But looking through some old boxes, my brother found a dictaphone, and it's a diary, a voice diary that my dad made of a world trip that they did long ago, 25 years ago. And when he switched it on, there was my dad's voice. Yeah. Wow. It's like, oh my goodness. And you and I know voices, don't we? When you pick up the phone and it's somebody you know, immediately you recognize their voice. How can you describe that? You can't. But that's a knowing that comes out of your spirit. And actually, you know, when we're praying and learning to pray, we're learning to recognize a voice that we can't hear with our natural ears, but it's projected out of our spirit, like the person walking into the room. And let me tell you that when your papa or Jesus walks into the room, you know you're loved. Because of the power of that communication that comes to us. So, I want to talk a little bit about soul and spirit. Now, I don't want to give this impression that the soul is bad and the spirit is good. Okay? Because they're both good. And so is your body. God made it. He made the whole package. And then it says in Scripture that we are made in God's image. So, if we're made in God's image, we're not really talking about our body because God doesn't have a human body. But we are talking about our soul and our spirit. There is something of God's image built into our soul and into our spirit. Are you with me so far, church? Good. So, I want to make this comparison for a good reason, but I don't want you to think the soul is a bad place. This is what I want to say, and this is what I'm learning myself, is that either my soul or my spirit is going to rule my life. It's going to be the command center in my life. Now, I'm one of those very emotional people. So if you say, well, you know, who's the boss? Then the boss in my life, the default position is my emotions. And let me tell you something about emotions shout very loudly. Or is it just me? Maybe they whisper to you, but they shout at me. And some people are ruled by their minds. They're more cognitive.
their minds work everything out and direct their lives. And everything's done in a methodical and thoughtful way. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying that that can rule your life. And actually, God doesn't want either of those to rule our lives. He wants this part of our lives to be in charge, to rule. And so that's the difference that I want to talk about. And one of the things that maybe this is the most significant thing for me that I want to say today is that when we pray from here, it can often feel as if God is silent. Because the voice of our emotions and our mind is very loud here. And when we pray, it's kind of like our feelings when something goes wrong or something goes right, or, you know, somebody does this or something just happens, our emotions speak to us and they're loud and they keep us awake and we don't know what to do with ourselves, and it affects our mental health. Or maybe it's our mind, you know, we're trying to sort out some problem that's occurred at work or in our lives or our mortgage or in our family, and the thoughts go round and round in our heads and they take over and we can't sleep at night. It's so difficult to hear God when that's happening. And those voices drown out the voice of God because we are so wrapped up in sitting in our soul seat and not in our spirit seat. And then there's another voice that shouts loudly to us here. Now, this might sound controversial, but I don't think it is. When you come to Jesus, your soul is not born again. Okay, I know. Let me explain. And the elders could come and talk to me about this afterwards. But actually, read John chapter 3. It's our spirit that's born again. It's our spirit that was dead before we came to Christ. And when we, on that day that we come to Christ, our old spirit is completely dead and swept away, and we get a completely new spirit. And that spirit is perfect. And it's wrapped up in the righteousness of God, which is perfection. So we have a new and perfect spirit. Our soul, although it is not born again, is saved. Oh gosh, am I confusing everybody?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. When we come to Jesus, our whole self is rescued. Our whole self is rescued. When we get to heaven, we'll get a new body. But there is medicine from here that can flow into my body that can even heal me now. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I still have the same emotions I had before I was born again. My soul is safe because I am completely rescued by God. I'm going to spend eternity with him. And because of this new spirit I have, there is going to be a life flowing through me that affects my soul. But this is where the damage is in my life. God may free me from addictions and all sorts of things at the moment I'm born again, because God is full of grace and love. But not everything gets cleaned up at that first moment. I still bring some of the damage of the past. And the damage of the past is where the enemy's minions can land and try to affect our lives. I know that might be controversial too. But I've come to believe that demonic influences can affect our souls, even as Christians. They cannot indwell us because they can't live here. This is perfect. And there's some good things to say about that. But they can affect this part of our lives. And they shout loudly at us, these minions. I love to call them minions, because that's what they are. And they're totally insignificant compared with who we are here. But what they do is they sow lies into our lives. It's not enough that our emotions and our mind are shouting at us. These minions want to tell us how worthless we are. They want to drag us back to the past. They want to sow lies into our minds and into our emotions so that they don't want us to do this journey. Oh no. So we have these voices over here. So my question to myself is this: Graham, why on earth do you spend so much time living here? Because this is my default position, and I'm learning how to live over here. And I would love to talk about 7 ways of getting from here to here, which is another talk. And I'll just say this at this point here. If anybody wants to explore that idea, then I'd be happy to put an evening together to do it. But if I talk about it now, you'll miss your lunch. So if you're interested in that, seriously, come and see me. If there's 6 people, then I'll find a room and a date. I know the church is busy, but and we'll look at that idea because it's really important. It's easy to listen to preachers and understand the concept and still go away thinking, but how can I do that? So that's for another time. But I want to say this about prayer. This is exciting to me. When you pray from here, you are addressing an outside being. Does that make sense? You are crying out to God and hoping that he'll hear you. Even trusting that he'll hear you because you know that he's good and he loves you. And even with all these voices shouting loudly at you, it's, God, where are you? You know, the Psalms are full of it. Because David didn't live in the New Testament. So he lived his life from here. When we pray from our soul, we are crying out to an outside being. When we pray from our spirit, we're communing with somebody who's inside us. Do you see the difference? It's absolutely huge. Here, we are praying to God. Here, we are communing with God. Let me just talk about the word communion, which, you know, is such a beautiful thing that Jesus said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. Communion. The word communion has its roots in the same word as communication. Because when we are in communion with each other or with God, something opens up. Something changes in us. I just want to read this verse from John chapter 14. It says, on that day, this is a day, any day, you will realize that, this is Jesus speaking, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's Jesus describing what it's like to live from here. This is absolutely mind-blowing, that when we are in this new spirit that God has given us when we're born again, then we find that we are completely infused in Jesus. He is in us, and we are in him. And he is in the Father. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it happens to, we could go find the verses for that, are completely melded together in this position here. It's like taking three different kinds of oil, or four different kinds of oil. It's our spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus' spirit, it's the Father's spirit. Take those four kinds of oil and stir them together to the point where you can't even see the difference anymore. That's what happens to us here. So when we talk about communion, we're talking about that being melded together. The word communion then has its roots in the word communication, because here we tend to need words in order to pray to God. We don't need words here. In fact, Paul talks about groaning in the spirit. There are all sorts of things you can use to pray. You can use tongues, which is that special language God gives us. You can use tears. They're a really good prayer. You can just allow your emotions to be your prayer. Even your thoughts, you can allow them to become your prayer. Because here, prayer stops being communicating with your voice and it just becomes being together with God. So the word communion has its roots in the same word as community, but also in communication, but also in community. And that describes that being melded together. I often think that prayer is a little bit like being in a family, you know. It is when we're living out of our spirit. It's like we're together all the time. So when Paul talks about praying continuously, he doesn't mean us being like a monk on our knees and trying to find words to, you know, constantly be verbalizing something to God. He means that we're just in communion together. We're praying ceaselessly. If I'm in my house with my family, I don't have particular times when I talk to them and particular times when I don't. However, it's true that sometimes we say, let's go and have a coffee at the coffee shop. Now, that's for two reasons. One is because we all like coffee. And the other is because actually that's time when you sit opposite each other and you concentrate on having a discussion. That's important, isn't it? Otherwise, you never get deep with anything. And so that was the encouragement. One of the encouragements from what Andy was saying about this whole thing about discipline is that we need to choose to go to the coffee shop with God sometimes. The scripture says, go into your closet. In other words, it's you know, imagine the closet is a coffee shop, eh? I always thought it was a cupboard under the stairs before, and it was kind of like dark and dusty in there, and we had to discipline ourselves to be in there, sit there with God and talk to him, and then whew, we could come up. No, imagine it's a coffee shop. That's much better, isn't it? But it's that time when we make time, because we choose to, in order to speak to God like this. But we don't then say to, okay, God, I'm sorry, I'm not, that's it, we've finished conversing, thank you for the chat. Because he comes home with us. And we're still in communion. So we don't stop praying. And the truth is that sometimes God feels silent because we're sitting on the wrong chair. From here, constantly God keeps telling us, I love you. Did I tell you? I love you. Oh, I'm not sure if you know this, but Father says he loves you too. Oh, Holy Spirit loves you. It never stops coming. The love of God flowing into our lives. Gosh, I've gone on too long already. I want to say this, but I'm not going to develop it. From our spirit, there are three powerful rivers that are released into our soul. And it's almost as if there's a valve between our spirit and our soul. So that stuff can go one way, but thanks to the grace of God, our spirit cannot be overwhelmed by our emotions or the loud voices in our mind. Praise God for that. That's why God said, be still and it's good here. There are three powerful medicines that are released, rivers or medicines that are released from our spirit into our soul. Number one, the name of Jesus. Gosh, were we releasing that name this morning. You know, we sat down together to have a little chat because we had no idea what each other are doing. And we discovered that there's so much in the songs, even in what Andy... Anyway, I'll come to that in a moment. But the name of Jesus, number one. Number two is the blood of Jesus. We could talk about what the name of Jesus and what the blood of Jesus does to our soul. But I haven't got time for that today. Number three is the dunamis of God. The power of God is released into our lives. And that's exactly what that verse that Andy was reading. The incomparable power of God can flow out of here into our soul. That's why David in Psalm 23, he said, he restores my... And he does it when we're sitting here. Because when we're sitting here, the voices are too loud. So the big question we're left with this morning is how do we move? And we can look at that another time. But I just want to finish there really and say this. Here there is understanding in our minds, and here there is revelation. Here there is praise, because the scripture says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But only here there is worship. You know, when we begin to choose to worship, even if we're sitting in our soul, we find we're sitting in our spirit seat. You know, you slide across from one seat to the next. It happened to us this morning. So I want to finish by playing a song, which, you know, I just find worship music is such a help to me to move me into the right seat. And so I just want you to sit. I want you to imagine, ask yourself, which seat are you sitting in this morning? Perhaps when you came, you're sitting in your soul seat. You might still be sitting in your soul seat. But let it go just for 5 minutes and listen not just to the words, but the spirit of this song. Just sit in your spirit seat and be loved for a little while.